Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to a July 17, 2009 segment from the Kentucky Water Fuel Museum. With us today is a very special guest, namely Radia Gleese, who is a certified clinical nutritionist in Austin, Texas. And Radia, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi,
well, welcome
Jay.
To the program. Hi.
Thank you.
Very happy to have you with us. This is the first time we've deviated from the subject of alternative energy to actually focus on nutrition. But there's a very special reason why it's important to do this. Number one, because we're concerned about the health of our neighbors, and we believe that you have some very valuable information to share along the lines of better nutrition. But in particular, there seems to be a connection between the harmful products that are being foisted on the public by big business in the way of junk food and the ingredients in junk food, and the way that the oil companies and coal and natural gas and nuclear energy lobbies have performed similar shenanigans on the public with their products. And in some cases, these are actually the same entities. And that's why I think it's worth hearing from you and hearing some of your insights as you've gone about trying to educate the public on better health.
Yeah, well, you know, Jane, we've talked before on this, and it's really all interwoven. I mean, really what's going on in, you know, in corporate America right now sort of it bridges the gaps or it's overlapped with these industries. And, of course, you know, green living is important on a health level. So we've got the issue of toxicity in our environment that is really, in my opinion, one of the biggest and most critical points that is left out of the medical paradigm today. We see, you know, diseases that are just becoming rampant in our population, such as the neurological diseases related to petrochemical exposure, related to toxins in our environment. So the neurological diseases such as Parkinson's disease and MS and chronic fatigue, the immune-related diseases, inflammatory diseases. You know, I, as a practitioner, I deal with these all the time, and I am constantly doing petrochemical and heavy metal assessment and finding invariably the connection between these debilitating diseases, some, many of them fatal, and the whole issue with toxins in our environment. So besides that, we also talked about, you know, what's happening in farming with our food industry. I mean, oh my God, have you seen Food Inc.? I haven't seen it yet, but I read the reviews on it. And
what is it, a movie?
Yeah, and it's out in theaters right now. It's called Food Inc. And basically it's all about Big Corp and Big Corp's stranglehold on the food industry. And of course this all interweaves to our health care industry. And the whole thing is you can't really separate them out. So we were talking about yesterday, and you and I were discussing just privately some of the initiatives that most people are not aware of in big farming, and that, of course, goes back to corn, which has become a major industry, and we've talked about corn products and the government, you know, subsidizing farmers to continue to grow corn to reduce cost to the junk food companies such as PepsiCola and Coca-Cola and whatever.
You know, this is something that's very fascinating. This is why I actually invited you to be a guest on this program, because I found a video in which you were explaining this subsidy and how people who refuse to partake of these harmful substances are still paying a subsidy to the companies that make them through their taxes.
Exactly. I mean, most people are not aware, of course, of what our government on a day-to-day basis are doing. You know, it's very, very hard to keep up with all of these bills that are passed. You know, just, you know, we're looking at the big stuff, and a lot of stuff is overlooked. And people don't realize back in 2002, in May of 2002, President Bush administration signed into law a $90 billion farm subsidy bill that basically reduced the cost. It actually subsidized farmers to grow more corn for high fructose corn syrup and other corn uses, so that they could, even though we have a surplus, and believe me, we have a surplus of corn, we don't really need it, but they were wanting to hold these farmers back from growing other things, and so they were literally subsidizing the farmers with revenue so that they could lower the cost of corn to big food industries such as, you know, Pepsi-Cola, Coca, the junk food, Mars, all of these companies that use high fructose corn syrup. So if a bushel of corn cost $3 a bushel, the Subsidy Act would reduce the cost to these big corps, you know, and through our tax dollars, even though people were saying, well, I don't eat junk food, you know, or I don't drink soda pop, or I do this. Little do they know, even if they don't do that or purchase that kind of product, they're still paying out of their tax dollars so that those corporations can get rich on our bad health.
Yeah, and so talking about bad health, why don't we zero in on this product that is known as HFCS, or high fructose corn syrup, because most people haven't really paid much attention to the fact that almost everything you buy on the store shelf has some of this stuff in it.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because, first of all, high fructose corn syrup is not a natural corn fructose. So be aware of that, because some people, you know, we were talking about, you know, the problems with sugar. And natural sugar has its own problems, you know, or not natural, because white sugar isn't natural. There's nothing natural about it by the time it's been refined down to, you know, its pure essence. But that was a bad thing 20 years ago. But notice, back in the 80s, this is really an interesting phenomenon. Notice how things shifted. I mean, we used to say, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, we consumed about 50 pounds of sugar a year. We're now, that has tripled since then. The average per capita is about 150 pounds of sugar a year.
That's like 3 5-gallon bucketfuls.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we're wondering why we have a healthcare crisis. But during the 80s, there was a huge shift in that, and it really went from sugar being bad enough to this high fructose corn syrup, which is really it's a modified, it's not a natural, it's no longer a natural sweetener, it's modified in a laboratory. So it's not a fructose, as some people may be familiar with the terminology fructose. Fructose you'll find in natural, such as natural corn or fruits and some vegetables. You'll find it in honey, things like that. And that actually,
in other words, are we to assume that if you squeeze the juice out of a sweet fruit and then you separate the sugar from the rest of the juice, that would be fructose? Is that the idea?
Yes, that would be broken down, you know, component of that fruit sugar. Yes, and so it's called fructose. That's very different than what we're talking about. We're not talking about a natural fruit sugar. We are talking about a chemically laboratory modified fruit molecule or sugar molecule, which is high fructose corn syrup. And the effect that it has on the human body is actually far worse than sugar, which refined sugar has its own problems, but now we're into a whole other level.
So in other words, we were cautioned back in the 70s. I remember as I was growing up, they would emphasize that a can of soda had so many teaspoons of sugar in it, and they were encouraging us to watch our sugar intake. But then along comes, without really telling the public, they take sugar out of all these products that we were told not to consume too much of, and they put in this artificial sweetener that they call natural.
Uh-huh.
This high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, which is, there's nothing natural about it. It's about as natural as, I'm sure you've heard the problems with hydrogenated fat, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing natural about hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated fat. That's another non-natural substance, and that's a whole other story, but it's the same thing. High fructose corn syrup, there's nothing natural about it, and molecularly, the way the body responds to it is actually much more detrimental. So we're seeing, as we shifted from natural sugar into high fructose corn syrup around the 80s, notice the rate of obesity. Notice the rate of type 2 diabetes, especially in young people. We have seen a veritable epidemic of type 2 diabetes, which we used to call adult onset diabetes, and we used to say that this kind of diabetes came in old age. We're now seeing children with type 2 diabetes. We're now
seeing... I saw a headline several months ago that said that, it said a third of all children born in the year 2000 are going to get diabetes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was the statistic.
Yeah.
The projection.
Well, yes, and actually from 1992, I think the study was from 92 to 97, the increase in diabetes between the ages of 29 and 39 increased by 70%. So,
and you feel like this is directly related to the intake of high fructose corn syrup?
Well, it's a complex issue, because here's what happens, especially when the government subsidizes this kind of crap for, you know, big corp, is notice how we started to go in the 80s from, remember in the, I don't know how old you are, but
I'm
kind of dating myself. Okay, well, in my day, when you drank Coca-Cola, you had a 6-ounce bottle.
Right.
You know, and then a 10-ounce bottle, then a 16-ounce bottle. Then a
and now they got
gulp.
The big gulp. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what a big gulp is? It's a half a gallon.
Yeah, amazing.
It's 64 ounces, so you're taking in a staggering amount. But notice how this progressed, especially in the 80s. We started to supersize and big size everything. You can't go to a movie today and not get, when you get a candy bar, it's huge. It's humongous. Why is that? Because this high fructose corn syrup is so cheap, especially when the government subsidizes, that they can make these oversized, giant junk food products. And people started to increase their intake instead of decreasing their intake. So we saw this real shift, this huge shift in these problems of obesity. We were hoping back in the 80s that we would reduce that by reducing, quote-unquote, fat or taking fat out of the diet. But actually, that didn't happen. It actually backfired. So now people are actually fat deficient, and they're so over-consuming these high fructose corn syrup-type products, and they're in everything. They're really in everything.
Because those of us I started to notice the high fructose corn syrup in products and started to try to avoid it about a couple of years ago. And it's a challenge. I mean, you go into a convenience store looking for something to drink, and the first thing you do is you pick up a bottle of something that says all natural on it. I think Arizona iced tea may be an example of this. You pick up one of their bottles or cans and you think, oh, this is natural, then it must not have that stuff in it. And you look at the ingredients, and there it is. So they're calling their product natural, even though it has an artificial sweetener in it.
There's nothing natural about it. As a matter of fact, that's a misnomer, and I don't honestly see how they legally get away with it, because it is manufactured in a laboratory. What is natural about that? Nothing. I mean, I always say, people ask me, and I've got many videos, like three YouTube sites that are three YouTube series. One of them, if I may, one of them called Wake Up America. And this is basically Peter McCarthy and I who are really exposing politics in the healthcare industry and big food, big pharma industry. And so there's a lot of good information. These are all on youtube.com/PsyCheTruth. Mm-hmm. And I've got several different things. I've got Wake Up America, which is all about politics, big food, big pharma. And then I've got my series for Psyche Truth, which is basically just all on nutrition, sort of everything you want to know about it, but we're afraid to ask. So there's all kinds of different topics. This one of them is called Corn Fed America. And that's my video on that, and there's also an article on my website called Corn Fed America, and that's about that particular 2002 government subsidy, Farm Subsidy Act. And then, you know, on these videos, which I've done a lot of, you know, it really is exposing a lot of stuff. We talked a little bit about the genetically engineered, genetically modified foods. And one of the biggest culprits is Monsanto. And so there you go. There you go back to a connection of the petrochemical industry, where
Monsanto done in recent years that should be a very serious concern to people living on this planet.
Oh, well, besides, you know, creating Roundup and creating, they started out as a chemical and pesticide and chemical fertilizer company, but then they got into genetically engineered foods. And they're, you know, and I have spoken at the Texas Capitol, I've spoken in Senate hearings on this subject, because it's quite frightening. We really, really don't know what the long-term effects of these are, because there are no long-term, we have no long-term studies, because basically we've only been doing this for a short period of time.
In other words, we are in the study right now.
We are the study.
We are the guinea pigs in the study, yeah.
Exactly, and the concern that I have as a practitioner is, see, I'm sort of like a Sherlock Holmes. The standard conventional medicine paradigm is they diagnose your disease and they treat it either with chemical or drug or radiation. My practice is more like a Sherlock Holmes. I'm looking for the underlying causes. So when somebody comes in to me with symptoms, be it anything from serious symptoms of what would appear or be diagnosed as a pathology such as MS or Parkinson's disease or these various other immune diseases that I mentioned, I'm looking more for what's the underlying cause, because if we don't eliminate the cause, the medical paradigm is simply treating the symptoms. So I go for the cause. So in my work, I'm looking for, is there petrochemical exposure? Is there heavy metal exposure? You know, one of my mentors who taught me how to analyze blood, and I analyze it from a completely different viewpoint than a doctor is taught, he said to me, Radia, the body doesn't make mistakes. The body is designed to cope with and deal with its environment. So if you're looking at not only symptom, but then if you go further and look into testing of the biochemistry of the body, and it's, you know, for example, if it's registering an elevated cholesterol, especially an elevated HDL, the first, typical in conventional medicine, they simply say, oh, your cholesterol's high, let's give you a drug to lower your cholesterol, instead of asking, why is it high? What is the cause of it being high? Because the body doesn't make mistakes. So basically, we look into, first of all, elevated cholesterol could be a sign of toxicity. So again, we go back to heavy metal and petrochemical. Is the body trying to, toxins are usually fat soluble. Okay, so again, we go back to all of these pesticides and chemicals in our environment are generally fat soluble. So where the body stores them is in fat tissue. As a matter of fact, the more fat we hold, the more toxins we have in our system. One of the reasons why people have a challenge, say, of losing weight is because this is one of the body's mechanisms to protect itself from heavy toxins. So a regular doctor, conventional medicine, will not go into these areas. They're not only not trained to do that, but they simply, they don't know what to do even if they discovered it, for the most part. In other words, they're not trained in detoxification. So we are. So I don't just look at somebody's cholesterol and go, oh, well, I've got to give you a supplement, or, you know, recommend that a doctor gives you medication to suppress it. I want to find out what's causing this. So in my 22 years of practice, I have done all kinds of testing that's available even in conventional medicine, but most conventional doctors don't use these kinds of testing. But I do. This is what a CCN, a certified clinical nutritionist, is trained to do, is use these testing modalities, either blood or various different biochemical tests. And so I go in and look at, well, as a matter of fact, I just had a client yesterday. She's been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. We just did a heavy metal test on her. Her lead came back so high, we needed another chart just to show it. So she's got neurotoxicity, clearly neurotoxicity. So is she L-dopamine deficient? You know, see, this is unfortunately the medical paradigm is, okay, treat the symptom and or override the symptom with giving them some sort of, you know, boost in that neurochemistry that is causing the problem. Well, this person isn't necessarily L-dopamine deficient. This person's got basically lead toxicity. So where do you get lead? Well, interesting, I had another client a few years ago came in with all kinds of immune dysfunction, like serious immune dysfunction. Did the same thing, did a test on her. Her lead was so high, it was unbelievable. I said, what have you been doing? She said, well, I used to be a race car driver. Interesting. Okay. So obviously, and she was racing, they don't use lead-free gas in those things. So obviously she had neurotoxicity.
Direct exposure to the gasoline, leaded gasoline?
Yes, absolutely. No question about it.
Were it absorbed through her skin?
And inhaled.
Oh, inhaled it. Okay.
Sure. She's inhaling those fumes, you know, all day long inhaling those fumes. So she comes back. Now, she went to doctor after doctor after doctor. She had immune challenges so bad that when she came into my office, you would have thought she had AIDS. So what would they have treated her with? Antibiotics, because, oh, she had, you know, all kinds of stuff. She had parasites and she had GI problems and whatever. But the reason why is because her entire immune system was failed. Why? Because she had lead toxicity. She had lead and mercury so high, it was just like this. I was amazed that she was still alive. And honestly, oh, yeah, you should see her now. She's 60 years old. She is a martial art black belt. She's the most fit, most energetic woman you'd ever meet in your life. She's probably 61 now.
She sounds like one tough gal.
She's one tough gal. And why, you know, I'm telling you, I will honestly say that she, if she had not discovered this, she'd be dead today. She was on her way to cancer or some autoimmune disease that would have absolutely taken her out. When she came into my office, she was barely walking. You know, and so this is what we see all the time. And we, going back to the genetically modified foods, you know, typically we see all these symptoms. And conventional medicine really doesn't go in these areas. But I go into allergies and food sensitivities. When I go into doing allergy and food sensitivity tests, James, there are people that are allergic to lettuce, allergic to really what we consider not hyperallergenic type foods. So my concern is, why? Why are all of these people having adverse effects to what we would consider to be normal everyday foods? Well, because if they're genetically modified, they're not normal everyday foods. They may look like it.
Are you already being bombarded with genetically modified rice and so on?
Oh my God. I would say right now in the United States, probably 90% of corn and soy that is grown in this country is genetically modified.
You got to be kidding.
No, I'm not.
That's awful.
Check it
I
out.
Thought it was a small percentage or something.
Oh, no. And both corn and soy are used in everything. They're used in everything, and it's actually not right now there's no law that basically forces manufacturers to disclose that. So, yeah, it's in everything, and we really unfortunately have become guinea pigs for Frankenfood is what we're calling it.
Frankenfood, what an appropriate name.
And, you know, here's what it is, and here's why it's a concern, and here's what the relationship with the immune system is. As opposed to a hybrid food where you take a tomato or a strawberry and basically you or a rose or whatever, and you hybrid it within its own species. So you'll take a red rose and you'll hybrid it with a yellow rose and get an orange rose. But with genetically modified, you don't do that. You cross species. So, for example, with strawberries, okay, in a genetically modified strawberry, they may genetically take the gene of a North Atlantic fish. There's a certain North Atlantic fish that has a natural antifreeze in their system. So you take that antifreeze gene out and you splice it into a strawberry to keep the strawberry from freezing, right? Because they lose a lot of produce during, you know, freezes, unexpected freezes. So if they genetically splice a mackerel into the strawberry to keep it from freezing, well, that keeps the produce going. But what's the problem with that? The problem is that our immune system, which has been designed to identify friend or foe, and it identifies it by recognizing molecular and mostly protein structures. And so our immune system goes in and goes, oh, I recognize you, protein structure. You can stay. You can be good. But if we change, even slightly change the protein structure, our immune system goes, wait a minute, I don't know what you are. You're a strawberry mackerel kind of thing, okay? So it goes in and possibly rejects that or causes an immune response to it. Does that
and
make
I
sense?
That was even said about high fructose corn syrup, that it doesn't recognize it as a natural sugar.
Exactly.
It doesn't metabolize it or whatever the way it should.
It's not a natural sugar, and so therefore, you know, we may have bigger problems than just its insulin response. We may have bigger problems with immune response. We really don't know. But the point is that we really don't know. Well, when you start fooling around with the food chain, it's like this is an area that we as a species, we fool around with our food chain and we could wipe out our species.
Well, and so this is where we can also tie it back into the energy mafia, if you want to call it that. That's what I like to call it, the energy mafia, because they are in control. They're the wealthiest people in the world. They've got the political power, and they are basically doing a similar experiment on the atmosphere and on the lakes and rivers and oceans by inundating this planet with all their products, all their petrochemical products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And they're inundating it with in the food chain.
Yeah. In fact, you even cross over because the petrochemical, I know they say a lot of the pharmaceuticals are made from petrochemicals. And
yes. Yeah. And not only that, but also look at packaging. I mean, one of the biggest concerns today, even in, you know, in mainstream, is now the soft water bottle because of the amount of petrochemical that is leached into the water of the, you know, bottled water coming from the plastic bottle.
Yeah.
You know, we have what's called xenoestrogens in our environment that are basically estrogen mimics. That these xenoestrogens come from toxins, mostly petrochemical-based toxins in our environment. One of the reasons why we are seeing so much breast cancer, so much other kinds of cancer is because of these high levels of xenotoxins or xenoestrogens that we are being exposed to, not only women, but men. And so these are rampant in our environment. So on a packaging standpoint, our packages that these foods are, that they come in, are in plastics. Plastics and the inks, which are also petrochemical, are just rampant. So when they say are shipped, for example, and they're shipped in these trucks that are, the temperature is, you know, hot, and basically these toxins infiltrate into the food itself, and then we eat it, consume it, we are loaded with it. As a matter of fact, the EPA study showed, the latest EPA study showed that we are exposed to 500,000 different toxins a day, and that 50,000 new toxins enter into our environment every year. These are all based on mostly petrochemical and chemical toxins. Wow. Heavy metal and chemical toxins. So, you know, hello. When we are looking at what we call the healthcare crisis of today, which is also, in my opinion, a misnomer, because we don't have a healthcare system, we have a disease management system. And if we don't change that and really start to get into a healthcare system, making nutrition and detoxification primary healthcare and hospitalization, drugs, et cetera, secondary healthcare, it won't be the banks and it won't be the mortgage industries that's going to break this country. It will be our healthcare system.
Yeah. So in other words, the United States is currently going through this supposed effort to introduce universal health care, and yet they're ignoring what would be a much, much better approach to dealing with. Although I think I've heard some talk about prevention and so on.
Well,
it's been emphasized more recently probably than ever.
Yeah, actually, Peter McCarthy and I are working on, we've written actually a 36-page report on the cure for the ailing healthcare crisis in America, which has been submitted to the Obama administration and is also going through Senator Cornyn's office and some others, where Peter and I are very involved in the political arena in quote-unquote healthcare, in true healthcare. So we are hoping that we can, as true healthcare practitioners, we're hoping that we can influence the administration. But right now, unfortunately, any way you slice it, the healthcare initiatives or issues are really based on how are we going to pay for these diseases instead of how are we going to prevent and fix these diseases.
Right.
Well,
so there could
anyways,
be a tremendous cost savings if they would take an approach along the lines of what you would recommend.
Yeah, hello, you think? But you know what? It's really interesting because, and in my, in Wake Up America, you will see, you know, many, many YouTube short videos on these subjects. But we have seen that in the big pharma, big medicine, big food industry, and big insurance industry, believe it or not, there's money in disease.
Exactly. So basically, this is again where it ties into energy. We have a paradigm in which they say that you'd be threatening the economy if you introduced a radical change, because mm-hmm. the big players now, and they say it's also dependent on propagating what already exists, that it would be too much of a shock to the economy if the healthcare industry was shaken up and so on. And the pharmaceutical industry and the junk food industry and the insurance industry, right?
Well, I will say that it's definitely a challenge, but we're sort of damned if we do and damned if we don't. If we don't make a radical change, it really won't matter, because this country will plummet. There's no question about it. No question. Think about it, James. We are now entering, with the baby boom generation, we are now entering into the largest percentage of the population coming out of the workforce and into the disease management population. How do you think we're going to withstand this? If we just go follow the party line and just try and dig up the money to secure these people's disease, to treat their disease. Think about it.
So
this is
what you're saying is that unless America recreates itself along the lines of a new paradigm, it's not going to make it anyway.
Absolutely. I don't care what your argument is. If you don't start moving that paradigm to a wellness paradigm and get off the disease management system, I don't care. You can talk about any other industry. This industry will break us. There's no question. You look at it statistically. We already know the statistics. We know how much it's going to cost the average elderly couple. A low budget for the average elderly couple's retirement health maintenance will be approximately between $250,000 and $300,000. Now, how many people do you know, in the elderly community have that kind of money? And this is statistics. I'm not just making this up. This is you can go anywhere and find out. You can Google statistics on these things, or you can get in touch with me and I can send you the report that we've written, because we have about 120 different references and citations. You know, the big corps know this. The basic knows this. The big universities know this. These studies have been there. We're just not really talking about it the way we should. And the reason why is because Big Corp has its big foot in it, and it's going, wait a minute. And I can understand why. I mean, there was actually a study. This is interesting. In Illinois, and we do have a video on this, but in Illinois, Blue Cross Blue Shield did a study where they took a percentage of their clients, and they literally gave them chiropractic benefits, only chiropractic. They didn't even include other things. And they were able to reduce their number of claims by 70%.
Isn't that amazing?
70%. So here is the question. Blue Cross Blue Shield did not reveal this study, and actually the study is still going on, but they have told anyone who's part of the study, if they reveal this information, will be taken off the study. So I'm asking the burning question, why wouldn't Blue Cross Blue Shield want to have 70% less claims?
Yeah.
And the answer, turns out, is they actually, if they had 70% less claims, they would have to reduce their premium rate. And if they do, they actually show that they would lose money.
Isn't that something?
And not only that, but the hospitals and the healthcare system, imagine if you took 70% of the patients out of hospitals. What would happen to that system?
Yeah, well, something similar has happened with the automakers and the potential for vastly greater fuel mileage, fuel economy, and so on. I don't know if you saw the film Who Killed the Electric Car, but that's another example of how they didn't want a good electric car, because it takes away a lot of their profit in servicing the internal combustion engine.
It's a challenge, you know. It's a real economic, you know, balance that is, I can understand, or I have sympathy for the economic interests. I do. But nevertheless, we've got to start really thinking about viable answers instead of going with this present paradigm, because
well, but it
this
shows
paradigm
that mankind is enslaved to profit. Profit,
yes,
trumps everything else. And it doesn't matter whether it's good health from the standpoint of health care systems or nutrition, avoiding poisonous food or avoiding poisonous fuels that contaminate our environment and so on. Money always, you know, dominates the decision-making process.
It does, and you know, from an empathetic standpoint, I can understand why that paradigm has been, you know, fighting tooth and nail to keep its, you know, to keep ahead. Because really, unfortunately, in our present economic structure, it's all about stockholders. it's really not. And the irony is that the companies that actually do beneficial services and products oftentimes are just beholden to the stockholders of making more profit every year. So they do end up having to compromise their integrity to do so. And we've seen this, you know, historically. And it's sad, and I don't really know all of the answers, but I do know this, that if we don't change our paradigm, we're going to be in real trouble. We already are in real trouble.
Yeah, sure.
We already are, but we're on a precipice at this point that
well,
there's no turning back.
For instance, that USA Today did an article on, let's see now, I'm looking at on the screen right now. This article appeared on January 28th. And the headline reads, study, high fructose corn syrup contains mercury. So here's an example, not just of this product, this unnatural product hurting the health of people who consume it, and it's in everything, but then it's on top of that, it's contaminated with even more junk, mercury
right.
and other chemicals.
Right.
You know,
and we now know, and this is an interesting side, that they actually just published a few months ago, they finally admitted that mercury has a direct link to autism.
There you go.
Now, I don't know if you know, but right now, statistically, they say 1 out of 150 children are autistic.
Yeah,
that
I
are being
know
born
several
to
families that have autistic children.
It's a veritable epidemic. So, you know, these contaminants, whether they're in vaccinations or whether they're in our food, which they are, you know, and unfortunately, I mean, we had EPA rules that basically were overridden by the last administration. They pretty much kicked us back 20 years, allowing these kinds of heavy metals and petrochemicals to be, you know, no more regulations, no more demanding that companies clean up their act. And you know that there are companies that basically have said that it is cheaper for them to pay for the lawsuits against them than it is to clean up their act.
Isn't that awful?
you know, so
it seems that we're taking steps backward, especially when toys with lead and so on waltz into this country, and there seem to be such tight regulation against that kind of thing. And even like with regard to this high fructose corn syrup business containing mercury and other poisons, if it wasn't bad enough already, and they're allowing this to get through the cracks, I mean, where is the regulatory agencies that are supposed to be monitoring and holding people accountable for these kinds of oversights, if that's what they are?
Well, you know, when you look at the FDA, which, again, I refer back to Peter and I's Wake Up America, because we're really, really using a lot of incidences regarding the FDA. When you look at, do you realize that with the FDA, there is no law against FDA employees being stockholders of these companies? Or not only stockholders, but many of them end up working for these companies that
the
they're supposed to be.
Fox guarding the hen house right there.
Fox guarding the hen house. Hello. Our regulations have to start back with our regulatory agents. You know, there's no law against it. I mean, the fact that aspartame was on the market still is. You know why? David Kessler, who was the head of the FDA, who now works for NutraSweet, was a major stockholder of NutraSweet. We know there is so much evidence that this artificial sweetener is a neurotoxin. We know that, you know, the studies that have been done that have been lost, burned, destroyed, et cetera, disappeared. These studies that we know that this is a classic neurotoxin got through and still is through today. Why? The fox guarding the hen house.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of shenanigans that are going on, and some of them are just downright evil. I don't know. I know President Bush liked to use the word evildoers with regard to terrorists, but it seems like there are a lot of evildoers in the corporate world, and we're not talking about tobacco companies who knowingly sell a product that has been proven to kill their customers. we're talking about the food business, and we're talking about energy and so on, and why it is that people would knowingly and willingly, and really not even give the consumer much of an option. I mean, you can't walk into a convenience store and pick up a drink without it having this poison in it. So
yeah.
It's like they're force-feeding us, and it's the same with energy. Who can afford to modify their vehicle to run on a fuel other than what is being offered to us, you know? And
yeah.
So it's like we're being force-fed a bunch of poisonous stuff by people who seem to be our neighbors and decent people, but there's an element of evil there that is deadly, you know?
Well, you know, I think a lot of them, especially that work in the industry, are basically in denial. And I think part of it is because, you know, they have their own stresses like us. They've got to make a living. They can't imagine themselves, you know, they're in, you know, and so they need to make a living. So oftentimes they'll stick their head in the sand, you know.
Well, yeah,
and
it's like,
not,
I don't have anything against a corn farmer, you know.
Right.
I want my brother who's a corn farmer to prosper. But I just don't want his genetically modified corn to be turned into a product that is killing my grandchildren, you know?
Well, this is, I recommend everybody to see Food Inc. Because, you know, it pretty much is the writing on the wall. And it does tell us, you know, like what we can do and what we should do. But, you know, those kinds of regulatory agents, such as the FDA, this is where we really need to clean up. If we really want to do something, we need to clean up these regulatory agents and not allow, you know, like monetize, for one thing. Now, here's an example of the idea of monetizing the scientific research industry. You know, back in the 60s, I think it was like in 1965, 60% of the U.S. scientific research was conducted in government laboratories, but by the time 2000, 65% of those research studies were conducted by private companies. Okay, and this was done primarily because of the Proxmire initiative that was done back at that time that opened up the arena for science for sale. You know, so this is the unintended byproduct of, you know, what has happened through the years. So when you've got science...
Just for those who've never heard that expression before, what does science for sale actually mean?
Well, it basically means now in virtually every field of science, healthcare included, research consultants can parlay what we call the halo effect of their advanced academic credentials. And the halo effect is these doctors, these scientists, basically, they're gods. Whatever they say is right. So when you see that a company can go in and put up the money for research to these basic scientists and doctors, what do you think their bias is going to be? Do you think that they're going to have these scientific researchers go in, do the research that they're paying for to say, no, this stuff will kill you? No. So we're no longer getting impartial and biased reports.
And then
so the decision makers,
more honest prior
back
to
in the 60s.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, in early 1970, Proxmire basically exposed the revolving door and its, you know, resultant ethical conflict, which then extended, you know, at the time, they were seeing the conflict in war, like the Defense Department and aerospace industry, they were in cahoots. So Proxmire sort of pointed this out and, you know, we started to put up legal, you know, conflict of interest laws. But we don't have that in the food and drug industry. So no legal firewalls exist between, say, the FDA, medical, pharmaceutical, insurance complex. So the vast majority of FDA decision makers have either worked for drug companies in the past or are likely to work for drug companies in the future. Duh. So again, we don't have laws that restrict companies, corporations, who want to put out a product, whether it's a food or whether it's a drug or a chemical. We don't have any laws that restrict any conflict of interest. So they pay for scientific research to sway it to the way they want it to read. So when the unsuspecting public says, oh, well, the FDA approved it, it might be good, or this company or this corporation did the research on it, and that research goes back, even to the people who are working for the company. You know, you can't say, oh, they're all evil. Basically, they're believing, well, okay, the scientific research says that this is harmless. And so until enough people are really injured, you know, it's not exposed, and by then it's too late.
Yeah.
It's already done.
From the standpoint of a film that came out a few months ago called The Age of Stupid, and it proposes that the plot is that people in the year 2050 are looking back on our generation and how we behaved in the evidence of global warming, or how we didn't act, and thus the title, The Age of Stupid. Say, looking back from the year 2050, what do you think people would say about our action now with regard to nutrition and so on, the things that we've been discussing?
Well, you know, I think here's the pros and cons of our present system. We have now, before in any other time in history of human race, our exposure to information is mind-boggling. What we have access to in communication, we've never seen before as human species. That's good in the sense that now the average Joe Blow can get on the internet and become informed. But where it becomes bad is that people get inundated by information, so eventually they shut down. I mean, how many emails do you get a day about new political, petitions that we need to look at, and new information on this and new information on that? And eventually we just sort of get like deer in headlights, and we shut down, kind of going, la, 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 I don't want to hear about it anymore. I can't deal with it. I'm too busy just trying to make a living to keep my family fed. So that's the problem. The pro is that we have access to information like we've never had before. The con is that we're inundated with it. So we have a tendency to shut down. And so people also get to the point of, well, what to believe? And when you've got, and I work, both Peter and I work very, very heavily in the political arena here in Texas, as well as we're working in national, to try and get people involved in the decision-making process. Most people are so overwhelmed with everything that they just don't want to go there. And also, in our education system, they don't teach you anymore about how to go there, how to get involved, how to get active. It's really not that hard, but most people think, I always call our capital the Emerald City. And most people think that what goes on in government is like, you know, I'm just a little guy. I have no say. I can't do anything. And so they don't. So I'm seeing people living lives of quiet desperation. They know that there's something rotten in Denmark, but they don't know how to fix it, and they don't know what to do about it. And all they know is they can't afford the good stuff, or they think they can't. So they're stuck and frustrated. And this is, you know, I think this is building in this country. One of the things that Peter and I are trying to do, or not trying to do, we are actually actively doing it, is we are creating a 24/7 web television natural health and green living, 24/7 web internet television.
What an interesting concept.
Well, what we want to do, and because the internet right now is international, and there's so many things going on in the world, there's so many cool, neat solutions out there that, you know, not only brilliant individuals, but companies, systems, et cetera, have come up with. And what we're trying to do is tap into those markets and not only make it educational, but entertaining for people, because this is, you know, people, you know, unfortunately, their attention span is getting narrower and narrower and narrower. And we see a lot of, you know, people escaping into the internet to places where they really, you know, are wasting a lot of time because it's too overwhelming. Their life is too overwhelmed, and they just want to escape into all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah.
But
let me
really,
how I found you. I was doing a little bit of searching on high fructose corn syrup, and I ended up watching YouTube videos of these commercials. And I don't watch TV very much, so I've never seen one of these commercials put on by the Corn Refiners Association,
uh-huh.
in which they're saying that high fructose corn syrup is not harmful. Well, on YouTube, several people posted a spoof of those commercials.
Uh-huh.
And they're very funny.
Yeah.
And that's how I found your video. Your video was, I think, in a long list of videos on high fructose corn syrup. So such things being broadcast on your web TV program, is that what you called it, web TV?
Yeah, we are in the process of creating a web TV network. So this network is going to feature not only cutting edge news in healthcare and in natural healthcare, but like similar to Wake Up America, we are going after hard hitting news of what governments are doing, what FDAs are doing, what the international, such as Codex and other laws that are being done. Our intention is to do counter news. So the people have access to things that mainstream media is really keeping from the public.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, and I think there are plenty of people who would be glad to watch that
mm-hmm.
for the latest on what's going on.
Exactly. So we want to do that, and we also want to do entertainment. So from talk shows and interviews with some, you know, leading people in the industry, from Deepak Chopra to Andrew Weil to whatever, to also, one series that I'm creating right now is on complementary and alternative medicine modalities. There's over 1,200. So we are right now creating the concept of a reality TV. Everybody's into reality TV right now. There's one common denominator that we all have, and that is health, no matter, you know, what country or what world you come from. So we are interested in exploring and showing people not only the culture, but also the benefits of complementary medicine.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're talking about a makeover program, I could think of no better example than that black belt race driver you were mentioning. You
know? Uh-huh. Exactly. Exactly.
Imagine the before and after of her.
Exactly. And so there's where we're using, you know, and we want to take someone like that, a subject like that, and we take them into a modality. Maybe it's that week it's acupuncture, the next week it's essential oils, the next week it's homeopathy. And we actually do a reality TV where we take a subject, we go in, and it's a health makeover with that modality. And then basically I would be hosting this particular show, or at least I'm writing it that way, well, then I take you to the origin of that. So if it's, say, acupuncture, we go to China, and we see what the origin is and why that particular modality has been successful for 4,000 years.
Well,
and why it's
weird.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people would be interested in hearing, seeing as we're really such a global society now.
Well, not only that, there's so many cutting-edge things, and many of them go back. They've just been suppressed or not emphasized. Regarding energy as well. I mean, there's plenty of inventors that would like to participate in that kind of program.
Exactly. That's exactly in the green living area. This is where we really want to display or create an arena where you've got some great inventors out there and some great people who have done some brilliant things. So we want to take you there, and we want to just show you what the possibilities are. So it'd be anything from that to natural cooking shows, such as, you know, right now the raw foods movement is huge. Most people don't know how to, you know, do that. So we get anything from raw food chefs to macrobiotic chefs to whatever, explaining the principles of these, how to cook, et cetera. Contests like that. We want to do a children's network where we have not only in energy and in green living, but also in natural health for children, sort of a natural health and green living Sesame Street.
Now, when are you planning on launching this?
We're planning on launching this August of 2010 is our launching date. Hopefully, maybe it will be sooner than that.
Really?
Yeah, but we're...
Can someone find out about this by going to your website?
They can. We will keep, if you actually go to my website and get on my mailing list, we'll keep you posted of the progress of all of these things, including, you know, keeping you posted on what's happening in lawmaking and in government in these areas, as well as just, you know, everything. We're really trying to get out there and let people know that this is what's on the horizon as far as getting information and entertainment and education to you. You know, so that's what we're all about.
For the sake of those who don't know what your website is, of course, it's listed on our Blog Talk Radio page for this interview, but it's at www.advancedhealthinstitute.com, right?
That's right. That's right. Now, I just launched the new site today, so it's got a lot of new great features, and I'm going to be continuing to put on new great features. It's taken a little, you know, building a website takes a little time, so some of the pages we're still getting out there, but the basic is there. You can also right now, and I'm offering this, you can do a free metabolic assessment. There's a little questionnaire, and there's 14 groups there, and you can fill out that metabolic assessment, see where you stand, and then right now I'm doing a YouTube on each one of those 14 categories, so you can connect to that. And I'm also offering a free 15-minute consultation based on that metabolic assessment to just sort of help you identify where some imbalances are and basically what I would recommend as far as a strategy to get back into optimal health. So that's there on that website now. And, you know, we're just most of it I've put in video format. They're short videos. They're a minute, minute and a half, just to kind of give you direction and a little overview. So, you know, because people are liking videos right now.
Yeah, that's along the lines of people's attention span. And
exactly. So this is what we're doing. We're creating this interactive website. And then, of course, my colleague Peter and I will be launching the AHI Productions website soon. We're working on that. That will be all about our television series. But in the meantime, myself or Peter McCarthy would be the people that you would want to contact for more information on that series. So you can get it right now through my website, and then when we get AHI Productions launched, we'll do a press release for all of my people that are on my email list. So you'll get that information, and we'll keep you posted on, you know, there's so many exciting things, and we're looking for, like, people like you, James, who are doing these tremendous services. You come across very cool people that we want to network with. We want interaction. We're looking for, 24/7 content. So we will be doing international contests for content, and we've got all kinds of exciting things on the horizon. It's just really neat, and we're calling the public out. You got something that you got to offer, we're looking for you. We want to, you know, make you part of our network of information, entertainment, and education on natural health and green living.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. Well, Well, I'm really, that was a surprise. I didn't even know that we were going to go to this this topic of this channel.
Who knew?
I think it's wonderful. Yeah. And so, yeah, we'll look forward to maybe doing a follow-up interview when it's about to launch.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'll call attention to it.
But absolutely.
Thanks so much for being a guest on this program. You've shared a lot of enlightening information that's going to be for the good of anyone who listens to this interview.
Anytime, James. I really appreciate it.
Look forward to discussing more with you in the future.
Yes, please keep me posted.
Okay.
And I will
tuning in.
I will put a link. I'll put a link of your site on my website, and we'll just keep networking.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks.
Okay.
Much. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Bye bye.